Join me in 2 Thessalonians. We continue our walk through Paul's writings to the Thessalonican church. And so we will consider this morning the first four verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Hear the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of the living God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his most holy word. Boasting is a statement expressing excessive pride. Another way would say to say it would be to praise extravagantly in speech. Boasting, especially for a Christian, is typically not a very appealing thing to do. Paul writes in Galatians 5, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." On many occasions, Paul speaks of boasting, and it is typically not in a good light. If he does write of it in a positive way, it is boasting of the things of Jesus Christ alone, just as he said in Galatians chapter 5. However, here in his writings to the Thessalonican church, we see something very different. Here in verse 4 that I just read you, he writes, "We ourselves boast about you in the churches of God, you Thessalonians." Here he readily admits that he is boasting about the Thessalonians. And he has done this not only to them, but to other churches that he has been speaking and writing to, telling them of their great faith. He did this back in 1 Thessalonians. He wrote back then, back in that book, when he said, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. You received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere." So back in 1 Thessalonians, he's still boasting about these people. But yet in other writings, he says, "I boast only in the Lord." So it's very evident here that Paul and others have heard of what's going on in Thessalonica, and they're boasting about it to other churches. Also, he writes in verse 3 that he writes of giving thanks to God for them, which is fitting. And we should always give thanks. So Paul is giving thanks on one hand and then boasting on the other. Seems incompatible. Seems like opposites. Thankfulness has a positive attribute to it. Boasting, Not so much. However, as we see here, there is one kind of boasting which is perfectly compatible with the offering of thanks. And perfectly compatible with a Christian life. One type of boasting is, and it is, just as Paul is taught in other places, boasting in the Lord. Which again, Paul teaches repeatedly. In a sense, thanksgiving and boasting are a hand in glove, two sides of the same coin type of issue. When talking to God through prayer, we thank him for his grace born out of his love. But when we talk to others, we boast about his love and grace. You see, that's exactly what Paul is doing. He is boasting of the Thessalonians, but he's boasting of what the Lord is doing in the Thessalonians. Paul is boasting of the Lord's work in their lives, and this should be our position. This should be our position. When we see God's grace working mightily in someone's life, we should commend them. But not boasting of them and their work, but boasting of God's work in their lives, the boasting of God's work of grace and mercy in their life. When you see someone maturing, you see someone's faith growing, you see someone who in a difficult situation is maintaining a strong faith, we commend them by saying, "We can see. I praise God for you and the work he has done in your life. This reaffirms without flattering. And as I said, we should do this. And Paul says in verse 3, we ought always give thanks to God for the work he is doing in our lives and in those around us. So what was it exactly that Paul heard from the Thessalonican church that caused him to be so thankful and to go boasting in other churches? What was it that he saw? That he heard of? Verse 3. He says we ought always to give thanks. And 4 he says boast. And here's the reason. Because your faith is growing abundantly. And the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. So their faith is growing. Their love for one another is growing. Paul has heard this from Timothy as he's brought this writing, this news back to him. And so this gives him reason for his boasting. This gives him reason for his thanksgiving. Here in 2 Thessalonica, he emphasizes the qualities of faith and love, and their growing. I've asked the question many times. Are you stronger in your Christian faith today than you were 5 years ago? Are you stronger in your Christian faith today than you were a year ago? Some of you I can look at and go, yes, I see it. Yes, I hear it. And so I would be in the same boat as Paul. I praise God for what I see in the lives of the people of New Sterling. Here, not only does he mention the faith and love, but he hears of it growing. And see, that reveals their growth. That reveals their faithfulness. And here's the key. Even during the persecutions, the church is being persecuted mightily, yet it's growing. I've asked the question a couple of times of late over the last couple of weeks. Where is the church growing the greatest in the world today? China, Korea, Sudan. What? Yes. China is tearing down church houses every day. But the church is growing. In Korea, the church is growing. In Japan, in Europe, there are thousands and thousands of Muslims coming to faith in Jesus Christ in Europe right now. News you will never hear. In places of persecution, here in Thessalonican church, it's growing even in the persecution. So we should pray for persecution, right? Not so much, huh? Okay. But see, this persecution, these trials, these challenges are intentional. We spoke of this last week in Sunday school and even this morning. When James writes, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Paul commends them for their steadfastness. How does he know they're steadfast? Well, the persecutions are not overwhelming them. Your challenges should not overwhelm you. I pray we would see that steadfastness in you as those trials and challenges and hardships and heartaches come along. You see, the trials of our life produces perseverance. The trials grow us in our faith. They cause us to mature in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Each trial we face, the grace of God carries us through and grows us in our relationship. Our faith grows. Our love grows. James continues in his writings, verse 4 of chapter 1. He said, "Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete." You see, the intention of the trial is to move you from where you are and grow you in Jesus Christ. We go through one trial, we see God working, we say, yes, praise the Lord. So when that next trial comes, we go, the Lord saw me through this one, so I'll step, here we go. The trials again bring that steadfastness, that perseverance, and that takes us to perfection. Now, perfection here does not mean to be perfect. It means to be complete. And see, is that not what we desire? To be completely in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's our sanctification. And see, these trials move us through that. This is what Paul is hearing about the church in Thessalonica, a maturing people, their faith growing abundantly, their love for their brothers and sisters increasing. Now, these two verb phrases here I'd like to dig into just briefly because they make a paint a larger picture. The two verb phrases, is growing abundantly and is increasing. Both phrases in the original language are given in a very emphatic nature, the strongest language Paul could find. One commentator writes, these phrases were carefully chosen. The first, growing abundantly, implies an eternal organic growth like a tree. Like a tree growing up from it, internally growing up as a tree. The second phrase, is increasing, has an expansive character, has an expansive nature. As a flood covering a land, just covers everything, like it did last Thursday and Friday, the rains. Using this illustration of a tree underscores the steadfastness, the perseverance of the Thessalonians, just like this mighty oak tree standing out in our front yard. The storms come, the winds come, some limbs will be popped off, it'll sway a little bit, but it doesn't move. Steadfastness. And then the illustration of a flood covering the land typifies the reputation of love in these people that's being heard throughout the land. And see, this is what Paul is seeing. This is what Paul is hearing of the Thessalonican church. Before I move away from that point, without hurting ourselves by patting ourselves on the back, I hear that often of you. When we have visitors come in, we have people who come and hear with us for a little while, they often speak to me about your loving acceptance, welcoming spirit, the come on in, you're a part of the family kind of thing. And so I could have easily written this letter to you about you. Now again, let's not hurt ourselves patting ourselves on the back. We've got a lot of growing to do. But I hear this and I thank you. All right, now, an important lesson for us here. What should be our response to others when we see them doing well in discipleship? What should be our attitude toward others when we see them growing in their faith and their love? Well, we see the example right here from Paul. Not only did Paul give thanks to God, he told the Thessalonians he is thanking God for what he sees in them. He is boasting again about what he sees God doing in their lives, which reveals their actual faith in where they are in Jesus Christ. Now, if we follow this example, we will avoid the congratulatory remarks which could cause some to puff up. Instead, we affirm and encourage in a very positive way, such as this. I thank God for you. I thank Him for the gift of grace He has given you. And to see that grace growing, your faith and love, it reveal God's true place in your life. And I boast to others of God working in your life. And I do this. I boast a lot about New Sterling. You see, this is affirming without the flattery and encourages without causing a prideful reaction. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, but as Scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast about what the Lord has done. Many of you, as you leave, tell me thank you for the sermon. That was a good sermon, and I appreciate those remarks. Maybe we could change the language just a bit. I thank the good Lord for the sermon He gave you. Because it's not mine. I thank the good Lord for the work He's done in your lives. And every one of you, I've been here with you for 17 years. And we've all matured. Some faster, some... And I thank the Lord for what He's doing in this church. We should always give thanks. Again, thankfulness is a hallmark of the Christian church. Thankfulness. And boasting in the things of the Lord. When we see a faith growing, when we hear of a love growing, let us give praise to God for the grace working in the lives of the people. May the Lord be blessed by all of this. Amen and amen.